Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
15 reasons to pray. Well, we all know we ought to pray. That's what Christians do. Well, that's what they're supposed to do. There once was a godless seaman who was in a boat fishing with his godless companions when a storm came up which threatened to sink the ship. His companions begged him to offer a prayer, but he demurred, saying it was years since he had prayed or entered a church. Finally, upon their insistence, he made this prayer: "O Lord, I have not asked you for anything in 15 years, and if you deliver us from this storm and bring us safe to land again, I promise that I will not bother you again for another 15 years." Well, that's not quite what we mean by prayer. Here's a simple true-false quiz. 5 questions. True or false? Christians are supposed to pray. True. True or false? God wants us to pray. True. True or false? God answers prayer. True. Prayer brings the power of God into our lives. True. And last, prayer helps us understand God's will. True. So how's your prayer life? Are you seeing God's power in your life? Are you getting God's direction? Can you honestly name some specific prayers that have been answered recently? I hope you can. I hope you answered all those in the affirmative. But I want to challenge all of us tonight to pray. We have discussed prayer in series and throughout individual topical messages because it is vital to the Christian life that we pray. I want us to consider as we start this message in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. The disciples noted Jesus praying. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray." So apparently Jesus is praying and the disciples are watching. When he is done, they approach him and say, "Would you teach us to pray?" I want us to think about this unusual question. Surely the disciples knew how to pray. If I were to ask you, "Do you know how to pray?" Yeah, you close your eyes and you talk to God. Whether it's out loud or whether it's internal. God's people have prayed throughout the years. Even pagans call on their God. If you were to consider in light of this passage, what went before this? Luke 9:28, I couldn't give you all these verses. But in Luke 9:28, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up into a mountain to pray. They already knew how to pray. It's interesting in Luke 10:2, Jesus told the disciples, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest." They knew how to pray. Then why did they ask, "Would you teach us to pray?" Unusual, isn't it? You see, when they watched Jesus pray and they spent time with him, they said, "We pray, but not like you pray. There's something different about your prayers." Did you ever do that with any particular skill in life? Something maybe you've had an interest in, and then you watch somebody that knows how to do it, and you go, mine doesn't look like that. Mine doesn't come out like that. That's what the disciples were. "Well, I thought I knew how to pray, but I don't pray like you." This is what struck them. "Would you teach us to pray?" It's not a matter of closing your eyes and praying. And yet in all of its simplicity, it's just talking to God. I hope that this message tonight will inspire you to a greater prayer life. We're not going to go into all different facets. Quote, "The spiritual giants who have shaken the kingdom of darkness have been men of effectual prayer. They did not spend so much of their time studying prayer. They prayed. Across the pages of Scripture and of church history, we trace the records of those who in bold, holy faith pleaded with God and were heard in that they feared. Prayer has produced marvelous results in the lives of multitudes. When they lay hold of God, God laid hold of them, and something happened. What a wealth of testimony they have left us as to the power of prayer. How convincing are their answers to prayer. They came boldly to the throne of grace and were not sent away empty. Jesus surely did teach the disciples to pray, and we can read that and those instructions. And it is right and proper that we should read those, we should study them, we should apply them, we should learn them. But tonight, I don't want to talk so much about the technique and the outline of prayer. I want to talk about the encouraging concept, God answers prayer. That's why you ought to pray. And we're going to look at 15 answered prayers tonight, and I hope they encourage you to pray. I want you to understand this. Prayers can be long or short. In 1 Kings 8, 12 to 53, trust me, I didn't give you all those verses. Solomon prayed one long prayer. 1 Kings 8, 12 to 53 is one long prayer. And God honored it, and it was a wonderful, magnificent prayer, praising God, thanking God. It was an honorable prayer. But one of my favorite prayers in the Bible is the prayer of Nehemiah. He was the cupbearer to the king. In other words, before the king ate, he tasted the food. And if he dropped dead, the king didn't eat it. You talk about a risky job. And he was in the king's presence. And he was troubled because he knew of the condition of Jerusalem. And his countenance was sad. And the king noticed it. And this is not a good thing, to be discouraged in the presence of the king. The king likes happy people, not discouraged people. Nehemiah has the opportunity and he says, "The city of my fathers is laid waste." And you have it there in verse 4. "Then the king said unto me," Nehemiah, "for what dost thou make a request?" And here is the shortest prayer in the Bible. "So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king." Do you understand how short that prayer was? The king says, "What do you want?" "I prayed and I said, well, king, I'd like to." You realize how short that prayer was. He had enough time barely to take a breath in, and the prayer was over. But whether your prayer is as long as Solomon's or whether your prayer is as brief as Nehemiah, it's still precious to God, not to be taken lightly. And there will be times you pray, and it will be very brief. Someone cuts in front of you in traffic and you slam on the brakes. Your prayer might be a very sincere, "Oh God." You did not take the Lord's name in vain. You really called on God. Now, there's a difference. There are people that just use the Lord's name in vain. But somebody cuts in front of you in traffic and you lock up those brakes. That might be the most heartfelt prayer you've prayed in years. And there's nothing wrong with that, that you would cry unto your heavenly Father in the moment of great need. This is where Nehemiah was. The king says, "For what dost thou make request?" "So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king." That prayer was the twinkling of an eye. I want to consider tonight 15 prayers in the Bible that were answered. And believe me, there are a whole lot more. But I want these to serve as an encouragement. God answers prayer. Let's consider. Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac, of course, was now a young man, and he needed a wife. And Abraham wanted his son Isaac to have a godly woman. He took his servant and he said, "Servant, I want you to go to my people. Don't go here to Canaan." and I want you to go to my people and you find a wife for my son Isaac and bring her back. The servant was instructed, and he took those instructions. He did not look among the Canaanites. He went as he was instructed to find a wife for Isaac. He arrived there and among the people of Abraham, and he prayed that God would send the woman. I'm going to condense these so we can get through them. And he gave some requirements that this woman would come, and he would know that this is the woman. I want you to consider this servant's prayer in Genesis 24:15. And it came to pass, underline it, before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah came out. Is that amazing? You see, God is already working on the answers to your prayers before you ask. What a God we serve. Behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. Before he was done praying, she appeared. Do you know that there are no coincidences with God? He prayed and God answered. And she was a beautiful wife in all aspects. Of course, she had her faults, but she was satisfactory to spend the rest of her days by Isaac's side, the one who would get the promise from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Number two, the children of Israel have been delivered from Egypt. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, and there God gives him the tables of this law in stone. He's gone for 40 days. He comes down, and while he is gone, Aaron is left in charge. Aaron fails as the leader. He succumbs to the will of the people and makes a golden calf. Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, and he finds the people in this sinful condition. And God says to Moses, basically, step aside, I'm going to kill the people and start again with you. And Moses steps in and says, oh Lord, don't do that. What are the people going to say? What are the Egyptians going to say when you destroy these people? And what did God do with Moses' prayer? Don't you tell me what to say. No, it says in Exodus 32:14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. God answered Moses' prayer. Years pass. There's the time of the judges. And in the time of the judges, there's a priest by the name of Elkanah. He has two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah has children. Hannah is barren. Peninnah provokes, irritates intentionally Hannah because she's barren. And Hannah goes to Lon and she prays, Lord, give me a child. The high priest only saw her lips moving. He thought she was drunk. She said, I'm not drunk. She came back and she dedicated that child that God gave her to the Lord. The priest saw her there coming back. He didn't remember her. And she said in 1 Samuel 1:27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. God is in control of childbirth. God then went on and gave her five more children. King David was ousted by his own son by rebellion as Absalom. Won over the hearts of many of the people, he sprung his rebellion, and David had to flee from Jerusalem. While he was fleeing, the word came to him that one of his dear friends, Ahithophel, had joined Absalom's rebellion. David knew that Ahithophel was very formidable, and if he advises Absalom, Absalom's going to get some pretty good counsel on how to conduct this rebellion and different things. And David prays In 2 Samuel 15:31, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." It takes a little time, but in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 14, Hushai gives counsel and Ahithophel gives counsel, and God moves that the counsel of Hushai thwarts and stops the counsel of Ahithophel in accordance to the prayer of David. God answered prayer. Number 5. Israel had split into the northern kingdom and into the southern kingdom. The northern king particularly got themselves into a lot of sin. And God calls the prophet Elijah to come and to preach truth, to rebuke them, to bring them back to God. And so it is, Elijah prayed that it would not rain. The rain is to be withheld to get their attention, to bring them back to God. James chapter 5, verse 17, Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. God heard his prayer, and God answered his prayer. Well, now that the nation's attention is drawn by this drought of 3.5 years, Elijah calls for a contest with the prophets of Baal, which are all throughout the land. And there they assemble on Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal put up an altar, and they cut up a bullock and put it on, and they cry all day to their God to bring fire to consume the sacrifice there on the altar. It's interesting that it says in the passage they actually jumped on the altar. They were willing to have the fire to consume them too. They were willing to die rather than to admit that God is God. They got no answer. At the end of the day, Elijah, greatly condensing the story, Elijah prays to God and the fire falls from heaven. 1 Kings 18:36. "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. And the fire fell from heaven, consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water." God answered prayer. You want to know gutsy? Stand in front of the whole nation assembled there at Mount Carmel and say, fire's going to fall from heaven. And God answered. 7. Then, now that the rain has been withheld, now that fire has fallen from heaven, now Elijah prays that it would rain. After the contest, there was a great need for rain, needless to say. It had not rained for 3.5 years. The prophets of Baal were exposed before the nation, and Elijah prayed in James 5:18, "And he, Elijah, prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Answered prayer. Answered prayer. Years pass. King Hezekiah is now the king of the southern portion of Israel, called Judah. And the Assyrians form an army against him. They have been known recently for conquering many peoples. And now they come against this little nation of Judah. This mighty army has come. And Hezekiah calls to God for help. He realizes the hopeless situation. And Isaiah, the prophet, is moved by God to go to King Hezekiah. And he says these words to King Hezekiah in his great hour of need, 2 Kings 19:20. "Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. The story goes on if you read it. 185,000 Assyrians are killed by an angel. God answers prayer. Did it look hopeless? You better believe it looked hopeless. Earthly speaking, it was hopeless. With God, all things are possible. Pray because God answers prayer. Continue moving through in time. Christ is now on earth. He has selected his disciples. And they are with Jesus, and he tells them to go across the Sea of Galilee. And there, on the Sea of Galilee, the storm arises, the ship is tossed, and the disciples look out and they see this figure walking across the water. It was Jesus. Peter says, "Jesus, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter steps out, and he's okay until he notices the wind and the waves. And there, he was once walking on water, and now he is sinking. And let us read Matthew 14:30. "But when he," Peter, "saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried," here's the prayer, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Was he disappointed in Peter? "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And yet he still reached out and answered that prayer. Folks, if God only answers the prayers of perfect people, he's not answering any prayers because there's no perfect person. Peter's prayer was short, intense, and answered. 10. Jesus Christ is walking through the crowds, and a woman of Canaan comes to him because her daughter needs help. She's vexed with the devil. She cries out in Matthew 15:25, "Lord, help me." Matthew 15:28, "Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." God answers prayer. Jesus is going through the town of Jericho. A multitude assembles to see him. Among the crowd is a blind man, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is crying out, "Jesus!" And the crowd tries to silence him. But Jesus heard him, and he called to the blind man. And the blind man stood, and he says, "What do you want?" And he very boldly says, "I want my sight." And in Mark 10:52, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight." God answers prayer. Jesus is walking through Samaria. He comes into a certain village, and there are 10 lepers. They stood afar off because of their disease, and yet at the great distance they cried, "Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus commanded them, "Go to the priest," which is what you do under the Mosaic law. You have leprosy, go to the priest. And as they went to the priest, they were cleansed. Luke 17:14. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed." God answers prayer. We have a parable of a very self-righteous man in contrast to a publican or a tax collector. The self-righteous man in the parable is a Pharisee. The publican, a broken man. Each of these men went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and proclaimed his personal righteousness. The publican tax collector. In Luke 18:13, the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And in verse 14 of that passage, it tells us that that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. His prayer was answered. God had mercy on him. And after the public ministry of Jesus Christ, the crowd assembled and they cried, crucify him. And there he was, nailed to a cross. And on each side there was a malefactor, the one mocked. But on the other side, one called for mercy. Luke 23:42. And this malefactor said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And verse 43, Jesus answered that prayer and said unto him, verily, truthfully, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus answered prayer on the cross. The church age begins. It's a time of persecution. It's a time of change. As the law of Moses has gone to the side, it has been fulfilled by the work of Jesus Christ. And now the church age has come in. And Herod imprisons Peter. Peter is chained between two guards. And all night, the Christians in town are keeping a prayer vigil for Peter and his freedom. Acts chapter 12, verse 2. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. God heard those prayers. Acts 12, 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell from his hands. And the angel led him out, and he was freed. God answers prayers. Why should we pray? Well, tonight we've looked at 15 reasons why we should pray, because God answers prayer 15 times, and he answers a whole lot more than that. There are surely many more examples in Scripture. There are many more examples throughout the years of church history, and there are people here that could testify to God answering prayer. We were designed by God to be dependent upon Him. And when we fail to pray, we hurt ourselves. We have an attitude of independence. Why would we neglect prayer? Maybe we just get the attitude and assume God will take care of us. Maybe we think that we can handle this situation better than God. Maybe we think that problems just have a way of fixing themselves. No. God wants us to pray because He designed it that way, and He answers prayer. Tonight we saw many prayers that were answered immediately, but God does not always answer immediately, and God does not always answer the way we think He ought to answer. That's why I've included this brief passage here in Romans 8. We all know verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. But I want to review again the context of that verse. Let us begin at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Here it is, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You see, our prayers are flawed because we only have earthly sight, and we look at something in our lives and we say, dear God, would you please do this? And in our flesh, that makes total sense. But it says we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But at the same time that we're praying a faulty prayer, not that it's wrong per se, but we don't understand. So it lacks. Praise God, it says then as we continue on in verse 26, but the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So while we're praying this faulty prayer, the Holy Spirit is praying perfect because He is God the Spirit. Verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit. Yeah, because He is God. Because He maketh intercessions according to the will of God. So here you are praying this one prayer, and the Holy Spirit is praying for the same situation, but with the mind of God. Guess whose prayer gets answered? Actually, both of them do, but we don't recognize the answer. Because we expected God to do this, and God does this. But He did answer the prayer better than we ever imagined. Because our sight, our understanding is limited. Because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here we are praying a faulty prayer. The Spirit prays a perfect prayer. The Spirit's prayer is answered. We don't get it. And by words of encouragement says, no, no, be encouraged. Because we know all things are working together for good. You don't understand this answer to prayer, but God is working it to good. Oh, okay. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to His purpose. That is absolutely in the context of praying with the Holy Spirit. Realizing that our earthly sight is limited and God's is perfect. Trust the answer. His answer is far better than what we ask for. It's working to good. You just don't understand. Hence, pray and realize your prayer might not be answered immediately. It might not be answered the way you thought. But it says all things work together for good. What's the good? Yes, in one sense, it is guiding and directing your life, but it's a little more specific. Again, context, context. Let's continue. We pray faulty prayers. The Holy Spirit prays perfect prayers. Therefore, trust the answer. It's working to good because in verse 29, God is working. He foreknew and He predestinated to conform you to the image of His Son. And that faulty prayer that you sent up is being answered perfectly by God to conform you to be like Jesus because He wants the best for you. You see it in context? There are times you will pray and not get the answer. I just don't get it. I mean, you got the answer, but you don't understand it. And God says, trust me, I have answered it this way. It's going to conform you to be like Jesus. Prayer moves the hand of God. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The text that is recorded in Scripture of answered prayer is not there to taunt us, but to encourage us to pray. We've seen 15 examples. There are many, many more. But really, I haven't given you 15 reasons. I gave you one with 15 examples because God answers prayer. That's why we ought to pray.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.